gentlemen, welcome to an all new brand new Russell Wortham Show coming to you live, commercial free from my super secret bat cave, folks. We are back in the middle of greatness, and wow, we have a huge show for you today. We are going to be talking in our main events. We're going to be talking about Fastlane. We're going to be talking about Halloween Havoc. We are going to be talking about Crown Jewel. Big. Okay, so if you're new here, kick your feet up. Get something warm to drink. It is getting cold out there, folks. This is your place for everything WWE. And so let's just have some fun here. I give you guys a bit of a roadmap so that you can follow along. So this is the introduction. I either talk about something in general going on with wrestling or just something in general that's going on in my life. And then we've got the introduction. And then we've got the main events where we go through the action in WWE. And then finally, it's thank yous in long form. So that, my friends, is the plot, as it were. So in this week's introduction, we're going to be talking about a couple things. One is that we are now 2 weeks away. Can you believe this? We are 2 weeks away from Survivor Series in Chicago, Illinois. My word, that is going to be awesome. Now, a lot of people have been talking about the possibility of CM Punk and or Randy Orton coming back during the Survivor Series. Punk would make sense because he is from Chicago. Randy Orton would make sense because he hasn't been there for, you know, for quite a while. And for all intents and purposes, Randy Orton is the ultimate survivor. I don't have the number in front of me. Let me, live podcasting here, folks. Let me see if I can look this up here. So I'm just checking how many Survivor Series wins does Orton have? There we go. So Randy Orton has won five, count them, five Survivor Series matches. So he won five times in Survivor Series matches, eight wins overall at Survivor Series. Again, if Shawn Michaels is Mr. WrestleMania, then Randy Orton is the ultimate survivor. This guy just exudes confidence and greatness, to be honest with you guys. I really do miss Randy Orton. It's a shame that his feud with the late, great Bray Wyatt had to be pretty much cut short. It was a really weird set of circumstances. And, you know, of course, the first WrestleMania back, I think that was WrestleMania 37, I believe. But yeah, that was such a weird match with him and Bray and, of course, Alexa Bliss. And just, it was just weird. So will we see the Ultimate Survivor? Probably. I would, you know, I'm not betting man. Okay. I don't like betting or anything of that nature, but if I were a betting man, yeah, I'd be putting money on that. If there were a parlay, like, hey, is Randy Orton going to show up? Yes or no? I'd say yes. And I'd put $100 on there and say, all right, cool. You know? So that's Randy Orton. Now, as far as CM Punk, that's TBA, TBD. Okay, to be announced, to be determined. I don't see CM Punk coming back. Let me explain. Yes, it would make a lot of sense. It's in Chicago. It's at the Allstate Arena, which is raucous. Oh my word! When I saw initially that it was at the United Center, I thought, I mean, that's cool. But the Allstate Arena is special, and I've mentioned this before. But I'll just give you guys a bit of a history lesson. So, at the Allstate Arena, when they pull back the hard camera, okay, so the camera that's filming towards the action, you know, as we see it on the screen. So basically, you know, the front of the ring. If they pull out just enough, or if they go at an angle, you'll see a bunch of wood panels on, you know, on top of, or excuse me, hanging from the ceiling. And I was like, that's just weird. What are those panels? What's that? Well, apparently, as the story goes, those are the only surviving pieces of the original arena that was built there. And so they've repurposed those boards, and then they've turned it into this really cool situation. So as you look at the paneling, right, it's at an angle, and that's for a reason, because, you know, when you're in an arena, or rather, when you're in a stadium, the sound travels up, and that's, so, you know, if you're driving by like a football game, baseball, whatever, you hear the sound. And again, sound is not, sound is not visible. Now you can show, a display of, voice levels and all that, but you can't initially see sound. But if you imagine you go by a stadium and you imagine that the sound's going up, and it's going up over the stadium. So that's kind of how that is. You go to an arena, and I mean, the sound does kind of, you know, reverberate, kind of does bounce off of things. But what's really cool, and oh man, what gets me just extremely excited whenever I hear that they're going to the Allstate Arena, I'm like, yes, yes, please, yes, please, is the, you know, well, first of all, how the seating is, the fans are literally on top of you. That is unique. I mean, they are literally right on top of you. And so there's that. There's the wood paneling that bounces the sound back. And so it's this really cool swirling effect that we're getting. And so that's your bit of history lesson about the Allstate Arena, formerly the Rosemont Horizon. But I gotta say, to bring it back to why I don't believe that CM Punk is coming back. A lot of it is WWE saying, you know, we aren't offering anything to him. We've broken off talks, all that. But on Punk's side, yes, he's teased some things. I'm always going to call it Twitter. I know it's X or whatever the heck now. But I know he's teased stuff on Twitter. But I'm like, I mean, I'll believe it when I see it type thing. I will believe CM Punk is there when I see CM Punk there. And right now, with 2 weeks to go, it's gone radio silent. So either A, they are planning something and they're hoping for, you know, a bit of a surprise factor, or B, nothing's going to happen. And a lot can happen in 2 weeks. So, to me, I want to be surprised. I want to believe that CM Punk is going to be there. I just don't see it. So, that's Randy, that's Punk, and that's Survivor Series. We will talk about Survivor Series next week when we preview Survivor Series. Also, I have something else in the works that I'm efforting, okay? I am efforting towards. We will see if what I have planned will work. But no spoilers. Nope, no spoilers. The other thing I wanted to mention about Roman Reigns, and again, I will talk more about things more in depth when we get to Crown Jewel. But at this stage, at this point, when it says on the marquee or on the screen, or when they say it's Roman Reigns versus fill in the blank for the WWE Universal Championship, and I'm thinking, pass. Because for the last 3 years, Roman has won, and 99% of the time, he's cheated. One way or another, he has cheated to win. It is getting old. It is getting repetitive. Again, I won't go too far because I want to save that for Crown Jewel. But every time I see it's Roman versus fill in the blank, it's like, eh. So when I saw it was Roman versus LA Knight at Crown Jewel last Saturday, I'm like, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So that is the introduction. So we will get straightway to the main event. And in this week's main event, three huge main shows back to back to back. It's Fastlane, it's Halloween Havoc, and it's Crown Jewel. Now, I apologize if I've talked about Fastlane previously, but I'm going to go through things, and I'm going to share my thoughts about, you know, everything that happened. So, the first match of the night was Jey Uso and Cody versus the Judgment Day. So, it was Finn Balor and Damian Priest. Now, at the time, the Judgment Day had the Undisputed Unified Tag Team titles. Cody and Jey were working really well together. They've really gelled in a very short amount of time. It's impressive, to be honest with you. It is impressive to watch how they've gone from, you know, rivals to, hey, he's my tag partner, you know, all that. There was a very good pace of the match. It was fluid. It was fluid. It was incredible to see the interactions. There was a really missed opportunity. Let me go back. There's two ways you can do a wrestling match. You can do, you know, a meticulous, you know, we go here, we go here, we do this, we go on top of here, we're down here, and it's just line for line for line for line, and you know, people, you know, especially if they aren't very familiar with each other in the ring, it's a very, you know, it's a very, I like to say paint by number, scenario. It's very paint by number. It's, you know, we do this, we do this. A couple of examples of a match being, you know, being, you know, a bit, you know, paint by number, is Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat, WrestleMania 3, Pontiac Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan. Mild stomping grounds. Savage, who was absolutely meticulous, literally wrote out everything that was going to happen. Literally everything that was going to happen. He and Steamboat apparently went to a restaurant, and they literally went through that match, and it was just it was picture perfect. It was just like, okay, this is what we're doing, you know. Hogan is the other one against Andre, where again, Hogan, and during the Andre the Giant documentary that you can watch on Max, I believe, Hogan so has the notepad from, you know, what, 30, you know, 6 years ago. And I mean, it was line for line. It was everything that they were doing in that match. But then the finish was blank. And he's like, I'm going over, right? I'm winning, right? Don't worry about it. But I'm gonna look strong. I'm gonna slam Andre. I'm going to win, right? Don't worry about it. He'll do the right thing. Okay. And there was a lot of tension. You know, is Andre going to cooperate? You know, is everything going to go off, you know, without a hitch? You know, so that's basically, or there's the other one, which is calling it in the ring. And, that is where they literally are calling out offense on the fly. So it's more spontaneous. It makes for more fluid matches. And you could tell that they were calling in the ring. It was more fluid. It was just really, it was just a fun match to watch. Now getting back to the Miz Rock reference. So Jey Uso was teeing off, I believe, on Finn Balor. And, you know, he looks up, you know, at his fist, and then he hits him, you know, that last time, kind of like Rock did. And Michael Cole, God bless him, he that was a missed opportunity. He didn't say, oh, that's just like The Rock, that's just like Dwayne Johnson, you know. It was implied by the action, but I thought that was a missed opportunity to reference that. Again, very good chaotic energy. It was so good. Now the LWO, the Latino World Order versus, now this is not their official names, what I'm calling them, and WWE, feel free to use this, but against the Mighty Prophets. Again, very good match, good pacing. The LWO working well together. We saw on Monday that kind of fell apart. We'll talk about that next week. And so, at the time, the LWO was really working really well together. Crisp tags, fluid movement. that was an ugly hurricanrana from Ray. It's like he kind of got him, you know, by the head, and it's been happening a lot as of late, which is that, you know, ideally you're supposed to hook them by the head or by the neck and, you know, flip them over, you know, that way. Well, the last few times I've seen that move done, it's like they barely grab onto the head, and then, you know, they start to flip off, and then there's this delay of like a few seconds, and the guy or the girl that's being tossed, it's like, oh, I guess I gotta go, and so it was ugly. It was ugly. How old is Ray? I know how old Ray is, but figuratively speaking, how old is Ray? Good Lord. This guy is functioning at a high volume. You know, I mean... How old is Ray? Good Lord. I really don't buy the Street Profits as credible heels. And yes, a lot of that is because of, you know, how they were presented for years and years and years and years and years. Being big fan favorites, being baby faces, all that. But even now, I don't buy them as real heels. Is Rey Mysterio always sponsored or always in a sponsored match? I mean, it was Simmons Host Crunch and Fastlane. It was Pizza Hut, and I mean, I'm thinking, okay, is there some sort of like sponsorship deals that I'm not privy to? They slowed down the action so that Carlito could come in as the third member of LWO. I thought that was something. Dirty Dom. I knew I was forgetting somebody. Dirty Dominic Mysterio was in that match as well. So moving on, Jay Cargill comes out of the vehicle, and she's in her, you know, it looked like she was in her gear, and I'm thinking, okay, that's kind of weird. She is jacked. Holy jeez. I mean, I've seen a lot of jacked women. I mean, and I'm down. I've seen some jacked women, but Jay Cargill, oh my goodness gracious, she is jacked. And and everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's Jay Cargill, you know. Even if you haven't watched AEW, you know of the name. And so now you're seeing the name with the face. And I mean, Jade is, I mean, she is there to, you know, kick butt, take names, all that. I think she is phenomenal. Io versus Asuka versus Charlotte for the WWE Women's Championship. Io and Asuka are just so fluid together. I mean, it's like magic watching them go up against each other. We'll talk about Io and and Asuka next week. But for now, man, that was crazy. Early on, Asuka, you know, spit the, you know, the mist at Charlotte. It barely grazed her. I mean, it barely grazed her. I mean, it got the top of her hair, which was kind of cool because it was kind of like, you know, oh, cool. It's like, you know, it's got a bit of a blue streak. It was kind of, you know, it was kind of cool. But it was just like this. Are you kidding me with this? Seriously, are you kidding me with any of this? Oh, okay. All right. But Charlotte sold it. I thought that was good on her. And Asuka carried most of the match. It was just total nonstop action. It was just, again, it was great pacing. Very fluid. I really enjoyed that match. Io wins. Io wins the match. And then we've got that going. So next up was Cena and LA Knight versus the Bloodline of Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso. I'm sorry. I couldn't do it. I was at that point. I was exhausted. I was like, oh my gosh. I can't do this. It's so I skipped that. And then finally was Seth freaking Rollins versus, aka Colby, versus Shinsuke Nakamura in that last man standing match. It was a glorified street fight. And you guys know how I feel about street fights. It has been done to death. So I just couldn't, I was like, ah. So great, great show overall. Great show overall. It was great seeing Pat McAfee back. I understand why he's not there every week because of, you know, his commitments with, you know, ESPN, you know, and all that. But I mean, how good is it to have Cole and McAfee, you know, together? Oh, so good. Because it's just two guys like just watching and commenting about what's going on. It's not somebody buzzing in their ears. It's like, it's just two guys just watching, you know, a match. It's just, oh, so good. Chef's kiss, all that. Right, now we go on to Halloween Havoc. Got split into two nights. I wished they would have only done it in one. I understand why they did it in two. So first up was Roxy versus Kiana James in a Devil's Playground match, which again is a glorified street fight. It was a good match, but it should have just been a regular match. Then Chase U versus the Family for the NXT Tag Team Championships. It was a great match. It was a great match. It was nonstop action. It was fluid. Chase U pulled out the win But a little bit of shenanigans, as J.C. Jane tried to interfere, and Andre Chase was like, "No, no, we don't do that. We don't cheat. That's not how we do this." And then they go back to the action, and I guess she hit. I think it was Tony D'Angelo, with something. And you know, and then you know, gets the win, and we have new tag team champions. Gigi Dolan versus Blair Davenport. It was nice action, but it was just a bad use of the gimmick. That was the, I believe that was the lights out match. You could tell that there was different lighting, but it was not like the Mountain Dew match at the Rumble, this year's Rumble, between the late great Bray Wyatt and L.A. Knight. But it was a good match, nice action. Gigi gets the win, but it was just a bad use of the gimmick. Becky versus Lyra Valkyria. Lyra just would not be denied. Every time that it looked like Becky was going to surge ahead, Lyra came back, and ultimately Becky lost. And we have a brand new champion. Next match, we're dealing with the Creeds versus Los Lotharios in a tables, ladders, and screams match. Well, let me say that again. In a tables, ladders, and screams match. Okay. That match was just dope. I think that was the match of Halloween Havoc for me. It was so good. The Creeds are just so good. I'm sad that WWE doesn't really care about tag teams, but the Creeds, man, they are just amazing to watch. Can you imagine a match? They actually had a match, but can you imagine the Creeds versus Alpha Academy? Oh, yes, please. Yes, please. Yeah. Could watch that all day, every day, twice on Sundays, they say. How about that Gory Bomb Dog? Oh, how sick. I mean, so had him up, you know, in Gory Bomb, and then there was Combination Bulldog, you know, off of that. Oh, that was sick. That was dope. That was just absolutely dope. Brutus Creed with the ladder spin a la the late great Terry Funk. That was really cool. There's that. Dirty Dominic Mysterio versus Nathan Frazier. It was a fluid match as well. Ugly swinging neckbreaker by Nathan Frazier. Dom has grown by leaps and bounds in winning that match. Next up, you had Thea Hale and J.C. Jane versus Chelsea Green and Piper Niven for the women's tag titles. It was a fun match. Piper is amazing. She does stuff that you think, oh my gosh, wow. She does stuff you don't think she can do. She does stuff. Chelsea hits a very sick, unpretty her to win the match and go on. And then finally, you had Kalani versus Lola Vice. It was a short match, but Lola is your breakout star for 2023. And then finally, Ilya versus Carmelo. That was a match of the year candidate. Just go watch it. It was amazing. One last thing, and then we'll move on to Crown Jewel. When they do the whole spin the wheel, make the deal thing, which I think is a very cool concept, I dig that, because in theory, it is unpredictable. It's like, what are they going to land on? What are they going to land on? And I know what the... You know, I know they only have to work with what they have pretty much there, but I mean, they could have done so much. They could have done a Hell in a Cell there. They could have done a casket match. They could have done, you know, any number of things, but they didn't. So, I don't know. Finally, Crown Jewel, it started hot. That crowd was hot. Every time they go over to Saudi Arabia, as a hot crowd, they love WWE coming over there. And I think that is really amazing what they, you know, and what they do over there. First match, Drew McIntyre versus Seth freaking Rollins, a.k.a. Colby. It was a very slow match. It was a slow pace at the beginning. Drew just seems disinterested. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misreading. But Drew just seems very disinterested. His contract is coming up, I believe, if not at the top of the year, certainly before WrestleMania. There's a lot of talk of him leaving WWE again. We'll see what happens with that. It was very physical. And again, it was just painfully slow. And Drew loses again. The narrative is that Rhea Ripley has been trying to recruit Drew to join Judgment Day. But the fact that they've had Drew lose and lose and lose and lose and lose as of late, it's just kind of like, okay. At a five-way match for the Women's World Championship, and Rhea Ripley had a very cool but very slow entrance. The guys came out, looked like with like incense burners or something, but it was like one right after the other, and you could tell that, you know, as they got like halfway down the line, down the rampway, you tell that whoever was, you know, saying, okay, you go. You could tell it was like, come on, we gotta hurry. And so it was a very cool entrance, but it was slow. Nia versus everyone. Basically, it was Nia versus everyone in this match. That triple submission by Shayna was dope. I mean, the heel hooks and then the Carafuda, I can't say it. Let's try this one more time. The Carafuda clutch. There we go. Got it. Nailed it. by Shayna Baszler. That was just sick. It was a slow pace again. Bit of a car crash. Everybody got their moves in. Rhea Ripley retains the world or the women's world heavyweight championship, and so we go on from there. Solo Sikoa versus John Cena. John, now this blew me away. Apparently John Cena has not won a match in 5 years. I mean, when Michael Cole said that, I was like, are you kidding me? That is, wow, that is something. But a lot of that's Hollywood, you know, and acting and all that. But John Cena hasn't won a one-on-one match, televised one-on-one match in 5 years. I just thought that was just weird. Let's see, it was, again, the word of the day, it was slow. It was slow pace. Now, when they go over to Saudi Arabia, they have to slow down the action so that fans can really, you know, like, oh, okay, this is happening, oh, this is happening, oh, this is happening. So they do slow it down, but this was painfully slow. Oh my gosh, it was slow. John Cena had Solo Sikoa for a while, but then he just got mauled. There, three. I think it was five. Five Samoan spikes at the end. Yeah, he just got mauled. And you know, a lot of people have been wondering, is John Cena done, like, done with WWE, done with wrestling? Dude's only 46, okay? He's only a couple years older than me. I don't see that. I think, yes, a lot of this was the Screen Actors Guild reaching that deal with Hollywood and all that, so Cena went back. But yeah. Miz TV was fun. It's weird. It's weird seeing Miz starting to turn babyface, starting to be, you know, a good guy. It's cool, but it's kind of weird. But you know, that was fun, with Grayson Waller, you know, and all that. Logan Paul versus Rey Mysterio. Be honest with you, I kind of fell asleep for that match. I'm just being honest with you guys. I fell asleep for that match. And so I just saw basically the first, and I saw the, you know, the ending, you know, and Logan Paul apparently used brass knuckles to win, and you know, he goes up to Ray and he mocks him. He's like, oh, you're so great, you're the greatest, you know, thank you so much, you know, this means a lot to me. And Ray's like, you know what you did, you know what you did. I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, this is, okay. Bianca versus Io. Io is so aggressive. It was a one-on-one match, but then, you had rest of Damage Control, so Bayley and Dakota Kai, interfere. But then out through the crowd comes Kairi Sane. Yes, Kairi Sane is back. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And she's got this really cool, I don't want to say mature look, but I mean, it's just like, wow. That, as the kids say, that glow up is amazing. I really dug seeing Kairi Sane back. Cody versus Damian was a good match. Cody wins, gets back on track. I thought that was the match of the night right there. And then LA Knight versus Roman. Right now, real estate here, folks. All I'll say is rinse, repeat. Roman cheated again. I wasn't very surprised. Again, like I said in the opening, when I hear Roman versus fill in the blank, I just shrug my shoulders and say, eh, whatever. This is, other different, YouTube channels, but on WWE's YouTube channel, okay, on their official channel, the vast majority of the comments, myself included, were saying, this is getting old. This is getting old. Roman can't win on his own. We all know this by now. It's getting old. What the heck are you doing? And either WWE has something planned, or they're completely tone deaf. Because we've been saying for a long time now, Roman can't win on his own. He can't win. He can't win. Oh, you don't think he can win? Okay, we're going to show you he can't win on his own. It's like, okay, whatever. So, that is the show for this week. I will be back next week with review of the week's action with WWE. Also, a preview to Survivor Series in 2 weeks' time. And then we will, we will go from there. Again, I'm efforting for another surprise, but gonna work on that, see if I can get that situated. But I'd like to thank everybody. I'm in 33 countries, extraordinarily grateful for all that. I'm grateful to everybody at Envato Elements. I've used their royalty-free media for much of this show up until, relatively recently. But I'm very grateful for the use of their product. They don't sponsor me, but I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful to everybody at OneStopWrestling.com. is a site run by fans, for fans. Everything you could think of, WWE, TNA, New Japan, AEW, wherever in the world there's wrestling, boy, I tell you, we have it at onestopwrestling.com. And the Godfather, got to acknowledge the Godfather, Mr. Craig Smith, who runs the site. Thank you, sir, for allowing me to be on your platform and helping me seriously to grow this show in ways I never dreamt of. So I'm grateful for that. And again, I'm very grateful to every one of you who listen to me on a weekly basis. So there's that. Oh, one last thing. If you get a chance, and again, he doesn't sponsor me. We don't know each other. But watch Sean Ross Sapp, especially after Crown Jewel. He basically said everything that I said. It was slow, and it was just a show. It was just there. Nothing big, nothing special. It was just there. So go watch Sean Ross Sapp, one of the absolute best in the business. And I really dig, I really appreciate the fact that he says, if I don't know something, I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to guess, okay? I'm not going to make stuff up. You know, I'm going to report what I know. And, if, he's very quick to say, if I don't know something, I will chase that down. I will chase down an answer for you. But that's where we are with that. Right. Well, that is the show. Like I said, thank you so much for listening wherever and however you are listening to the show. And just like the Beatles sang all those many, many years ago, they are back to number one here, folks. That is amazing. We'll talk about that next week as well in the introduction. But just like the Beatles sang all those many years ago, love is all you need. I will see you guys next week.